Well, my guest today is somebody who never gives pat answers and also asks very thoughtful questions. Say hello to my good friend and rotating co-host, Greg Jarvis.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing?
Well, I'd like to lie and say, oh, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It does sound kind of insincere when we always ask how somebody's doing. I think we're saying it out of obligation and not because we really care. But, you know, you're my friend, and I actually do care how you're doing.
Well, I get a sense of that. Thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah, I could tell. You're just lighting up all over.
No, I'm serious. But we do tend to ask that as a way of just saying hello to people. And if people really told us how they felt, we'd be like, whoa.
Right, yeah. We ask how someone is, and we probably, if they weren't doing as fine as they say they are, we might not really want to hear about it.
That's exactly right. Well, want to hear about it or not, today's topic I thought would be good to talk about would be depression. I find myself in the midst of a depressive episode, so I thought, you know what, it's probably good to talk about it.
That's very timely, because, of course, I would never mention a name over the radio, but there's somebody that I know that's going through some depression right now. Now, when you say depression, do you mean like what we would call clinical depression, where someone's depressed and they don't know why? I get depressed at times, but I usually, if I'm stressed out about something, I know why. I've never, to my recollection, had times where I'm suddenly depressed and down in the dumps and I have no idea what's going on, but I know that often when people use the word depression, that's the kind of depression they're talking about, or they don't know why they're depressed.
Right. Well, there's a lot of times we refer to that word kind of loosely from a physiological depression that we don't know what's going on. It's affecting us. It feels like a huge weight on us. It changes our sleep. It changes our mood. It can have all kinds of changes. And it's just like a dark cloud and no apparent reason, all the way over to the other end of the spectrum where we can be sad about something and we can refer to it as depression.
So where are you on the grand scale?
It's at the other end. It's physiological. I've had depression probably since I was a teen, but not diagnosed until I was in my 30s, and pretty clear. I mean, pretty classic recurrent depression.
And how often would you say that recurs?
It recurs at least every year, sometimes a couple of times throughout the year. I can't remember, I really can't remember a year without it.
And you and your wife both have degrees in counseling, so that's interesting. You're in a situation where you can probably understand more about what you're going through than the average person. And yet that doesn't necessarily mean that you can quickly do something about it.
Well, absolutely right. And then combine that with a relationship with God where, rightly or wrongly, sometimes we approach that relationship that should take care of everything as well. And we know from walking with God that sometimes he allows us to walk through things and doesn't always get us out of things. I think that's real important to have people know. But yes, we can understand it a little bit better from an educational standpoint, understand what's going on. But yeah, that only helps you so far. It's like talking to a person I know who could not understand depression. They're like, well, why don't you just do this? And why don't you just do that? And then you could be happy. And I had to stop them. I'd say, you know what, right now, oddly enough, I am happy. This was a while ago. I'm happy enough right now, but it's weird because depression, for those who have it of a physiological nature, you can be in a good mood. You can be happy, what people call happy. Everything could be going okay in your life, but there's this cloud, it just feels like you're being pushed down and held. Okay.
Well, I want to understand, because apparently you're not feeling happy. Do you mean that you can have happy circumstances, but you don't have feelings to go with them?
No, I actually mean you can have feelings to go with them, meaning the depression feels like you're being held underwater. That's probably not a good analogy because I don't know anyone that would like that, and it feels like you're fighting for your life. It can feel like a pressure, like a darkness, sort of like a sludge you're walking through, but you can still be in a pretty good mood. I mean, I've joked with people. I've been pleasant around people. I've gotten up and faced the day, and I've known I was depressed. It's almost like having a broken leg. You can focus on the pain, and you can be in pain, and you can be moaning and groaning and holding your leg, or you can actually be engaged in other things and still have a broken leg, and it can still limit you, but it's not all-consuming, and you can still have other feelings and other emotions that go along with it. So a severe depression, yes, you are down and out and sometimes hospital.
So you're not considering yourself going through a severe depression right now?
No, I wouldn't say severe, because then you're having thoughts of self-harm.
I know this is a very real phenomenon, because I've known so many people that have gone through this, not only friends, but in the ministry I encounter such people. I'm still trying to relate to it, because again, when I'm depressed, something in my life is not going the way I want it to, and I know why. So if things are going okay, when you say you're depressed, and this might be a hard thing to do for the audience, but what exactly are you feeling? Again, I always think of depressed with a reference point. Without the reference point, what exactly are you feeling? You're not feeling happy, but there's no reason for it. It's kind of like, is it like someone saying, you know, I'm just in kind of a bad mood today and I'm not sure why? Is it that kind of thing?
I guess you could compare it to that. If you've ever gotten up and or let's say you had a restless night and you absolutely got no sleep whatsoever, okay, that next morning you're depleted. You are just at the end before you've even begun. And you feel lethargic, and you feel sluggish, which is the same word as lethargic. I was trying to sound intelligent. It's like you're trudging through mud, and that's how you're going through your day. Now, that's just a lack of sleep. I wouldn't say, that's depression, but depression is like that. So even if you don't get sleep, if you go visit a loved one, if you go do something that you enjoy, if you go, you can still encounter other emotions and feelings, but it's like you're going through it with heavy boots on. And the boots don't keep you from doing it, although, again, a severe depression, you could be hospitalized. So I don't want to...
Now, will it affect something circumstantially, though? Will there be something that would happen to you that might not be that big of a deal, but it'll seem like a big deal because of the depression? Will it start changing your feelings about the stimuli that you are reacting to?
It certainly can, and I would think most of the time it would. Now, the first thing I would need to say is the depression doesn't affect the people, different people, the same way. It has general symptoms, but each person's different, so they shouldn't go looking and say, well, I'm not going through this, that, or the other, so this doesn't apply. No, it's different for each person, but I would say for myself, yes, when I'm in what I would call a depressive state, then it can affect other things. It can make joyful things less joyful, enjoyable things less enjoyable. It certainly can and would, although sometimes you can fake it through things. Even yourself, you can fake out and seemingly be up. And people are like, well, what's the deal? You don't look depressed, but you're walking around. You're pulling this ball and chain. You feel the tug. You're feeling pulled down, but you're still, engaging. But I would say it has an effect, and sometimes can be quite an effect on the things around you, and can lead to what we would clearly consider depressive emotions, sadness, frustration, and all that. And opposite can be true, too. If you have these feelings that don't start off as depression that people sometimes refer to as depression, you can have sadness, disappointment, frustration, pressure, anxiety, stress, all of those, if they're there long enough, it can wear the body down, just like a lack of sleep. And in wearing the body down, it can change its state of being into a state of depression. So it's important that we take care of those things before it gets to that point. But sometimes it can start off as depression. People are predisposed to that.
So I'm going to be clear, Greg. You could be in San Diego, yeah, sitting on the ocean, having the trail boss cut from Pinnacle Peak, coming home and then watching Support Your Local Sheriff with James Garner, and you might still feel depressed because none of those things would be able to cheer you up.
Well, now see, now we're kind of mixing that up. I would still be happy to do those things. And of course, happy, as you know, is circumstantial. It has to do with circumstances. It doesn't have to do with true joy and whatnot.
And it could be a letdown because you'll eventually finish the steak. The movie will eventually be over.
Right.
Eventually,
right.
The sun will go down over the beach. Yeah.
I got to leave San Diego.
And you have to go back to Missouri. That could depress anybody.
Otherwise pronounced misery.
I never heard that one. Missouri, misery. Oh, yeah. I never made that connection before. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's there, Bob.
I feel horrible. I'm having so much fun at the stake of my best friend's depression right now. This is not right.
Well, I think you brought up a real good point, because it's important to know that someone can be depressed and it doesn't always reveal itself in an external sadness, because if it doesn't, but someone is dealing with it, they or others around them can easily dismiss it or minimize it.
Well, and whenever I'm with you, you're always in a good mood generally, and a lot of times you'll talk about what's going on in your life, and a lot of times they are very serious things, and they're things that concern you, but that's not what you're talking about today. None of that you'd put under the category of depression, would you?
No, I would say today it's a feeling of kind of a darkness that you don't know why is there. But let's back up a minute. The first thing, if there's someone that's listening that is depressed, the one thing we don't want to do, like I mentioned, we don't want to minimize it. We don't say, oh, this is no big deal, whatever, it's going to be okay. You know, we trivialize it. It's going to be okay.
If they're driving to Pinnacle Peak right now, we should say slow down, not so fast. It may not be quite that easy.
Right. That's exactly right. Although going to Pinnacle Peak might be a way to lift it. I don't know. If so, would you certainly want to get that published. So, but no, there's sometimes there's a tendency for people, especially in the religious community, to throw a couple of verses out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Christians can be the worst with, if you just have the Holy Spirit, you won't go through any of this.
Right.
You memorize this verse or that verse.
Yep. And that can be very harmful, because what it does is it drives a person away, or it makes the person feel terrible for feeling terrible, which is kind of circular.
Yeah, you're already feeling so bad, and now Christians come along in love, of course, for Christ's sake, of course, and they give you a heap of guilt to go with your state of depression that you already had.
Exactly, and that's, it's a shame, and that's to put it lightly. So we don't want to go that route. But at the same time, we don't want to justify and just feel like, I'm depressed, I have issues, and I'm just going to go ahead and keep living my life. And what we end up doing at that point, if we don't deal with it, sometimes we make poor choices during that time, and then we justify it, saying, well, I was depressed, what could I do? And make excuses for things. We don't want to do that either. You want to look at yourselves not more highly or lowly than we are. We want to look at ourselves as God sees us. We want to look at ourselves in truth. So can you deal with it through psychiatry and medication? Absolutely you can, but what I recommend first is what I did years ago during that year I was diagnosed. I was getting worse and worse. It got to the point where I wouldn't say catatonic, but I was sitting in a chair. I wasn't able to really go anywhere. I was just like a sloth. I was much slower than normal. And the way that it really came home to me is I was driving home from work and I was going below the speed limit. So that was not me. I'm normally right at the limit or over, but
you usually have that lead right in your foot there.
Pretty much right there. And I'm zipping in. I'm a very, aggressive, I drive offensively defensive. So, because I was raised in California. And I wasn't able to do it. I wasn't able to go more than like 45 miles an hour on the freeway, and I just knew something was wrong. I had the wherewithal back then, and I've kept this. First, you want to look at what are you doing, because there are things that we can do with a clinical depression that can help. And if we don't have depression, then it certainly will help. And so we want to look at the other areas of our life. We want to look at if we're active and exercising. And I don't mean going to Gold's Gym, lifting, tons of weights. No, I just mean being active. active? Are you
mean active like taking walks, that kind of activity?
Yeah, taking walks, getting your blood pumping a little bit, but you know, doing something that is healthful. And how are you eating? And are you sleeping rightly? Is there a sleep problem? Because if you're not getting appropriate sleep, if you're not getting good exercise, if you're not eating right, but you're eating junk, all these things, I think we take a lot for granted. But
well, that affects our biochemistry, and there are certain things. I remember one time I was out in Arizona, and a friend of mine was helping me fix my car, and we were out on his estate where he lived, and he was in the country, and he said something to me once I'll never forget. He said, "The Lord knows I need this. I need the country. I need the trees." And I started thinking, you know, God did construct us in certain ways. We need to exercise. We need to eat. We need to be in certain environments. And the depression that you're talking about is something that hits us at some kind of subliminal level that we don't understand. And it seems there are other things we could do in our life that, would you say it's fair to describe it as providing a positive subliminal counterpoint?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, it's like trying to stay healthy by basically taking care of yourself, and that would be for physical health as well as mental health. So, yes, there are things that we can do. Now, again, we don't want to assume that in just doing those things we'll be fine, because a true clinical depression, a physiological depression, will override all of that. But
you're saying this would help. You're not saying this would be a cure-all.
I'm saying it could help, okay? But back when I was diagnosed, this is why I went to a psychiatrist, because at that time in my life, it was going well in my marriage. I was moving around and exercising. I was eating right. I was getting the right sleep. My job was going well. The kids were doing fine. Everything was doing fine, and I was checking and double-checking each area, and yet this depression kept getting worse day by day, week by week. And I gave it about, which I would never recommend this, but I gave it about 2 months because I wasn't really exercising for that. I'm not a guy that, like, I know you look at my body and you think, hey, this guy's into health and exercise. No, not true. I don't like to exercise. So I thought, I'm going to start and I'm going to be diligent, even though I felt like crud. And I did for 3 months straight. And I just continually went down the rabbit hole. So I think that gives someone a sense of what they can do before they run off to the psychiatrist, because sometimes we're quick to go to the doctor and they're quick to prescribe, and it may lift spirits momentarily, but it may not even be the correct issue. There are no pat answers. There's not one size fits all. There's not a depression that affects all exactly the same way. So it's really, you have to deal with what comes up as it comes up. But we were talking about the perspective of a psychiatrist. Does the emotions affect physiology? Does physiology affect emotions? And they're both true. Which came first? I don't believe it really matters. I do believe that we need to be helpful in our approach prior to being depressed. And when we become depressed, that we don't trivialize it, we don't minimize it, we don't justify it, but we deal with it. And I think what we were talking about before the break, one way to begin to even narrow it down and to see what's going on or if something truly is going on is by doing what we can in every other area of our lives. And I say what we can because it may be that we catch it too late. And it's like a merry-go-round. You feel terrible. You feel a pressure. You feel a weight and a darkness. And so you don't want to do anything, and you don't do anything, and you continue to feel that weight and pressure. And so, like I was talking with someone a while ago, they're like, well, why don't you just get off the merry-go-round? And it's like saying, well, I think the lame person that Jesus healed.
That's easier said than done.
Right. He should have just got up. Well, you can't just get up and do stuff. That said, there is a level that's different than being lame or you know, physically not being able to get up and do something, because we do still make choices and we still do some daily activities early on. And it can get to be so bad that we don't even get out of bed. So I think the key, if someone's beginning to feel depressed and not sad over situations or things like that, those should be dealt with in and of themselves. If somebody feels sadness, we want to deal with that. If somebody feels stress, we want to deal with that. But if it gets to be a full-blown depression, sort of a generalized darkness and heavy weight and like walking through mud, we want to, before it gets too bad, try to do these areas. Try to check in to see physically, are we caring for ourselves? And that would be through what we're eating. Are we exercising? Are we sleeping right? We want to look at relationships. And I think that's key because God is a communal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, creating us for relationship, first with himself and then with others. And depression tends to take us out of that, sometimes pretty quickly. So we want to check on our relationships, both horizontal relationships with others and vertical relationship with God. How are those things going? And if at any point we begin to see something that's not where it should be and can make movement in that, we should. That's very good to do. And if we continue to do that and the depression gets worse, then we know we need to go get some outside help. And it may be that it is a physiological state and that medicine is going to be what it takes. On the other hand, if early on we find problems in one of these areas, oftentimes it's relationships, it's emotions, we need to talk to someone about that, whether it's a trusted friend or someone in the church or a licensed counselor, psychologist. Those are good things to do to try to keep it in check.
And it doesn't have to be an either-or thing. One could be having a chemical imbalance because their emotions are causing it, and they could deal with what's causing the emotions, but it could start with the chemistry and then create emotions and then cause circumstances to go well. And so if one is seeing a psychiatrist and getting some kind of prescription, that doesn't mean that they have to quarter off looking at other areas of their life as well.
Absolutely. And absolutely should not quarter off their lives. We should always try to maintain a balance in our life. God's a balanced God. He created us for balance.
I hope you've been enjoying the interview I did with Greg Jarvis, my good friend. One thing I really appreciate about Greg is how honest he is, but he also does it with insight, with humor, with very creative expression. Anyway, there's much more to talk about, but we're out of time today, so we will continue our interview with Greg Jarvis on next week's Bob Siegel Show. See you then.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.